Barbara, as we continue with this message, I think about the concept of words. And you know, the devil's trying to deliver his message on words, whether it's a printed word, the spoken word, or words with pictures on television. Mm-hmm. But he's trying to move in. And all of these practices we're talking about here are conveyed to people's hearts by words.
That's right.
So you have to be real careful. You have to put a guard up, a spiritual guard, and just declare, I am not going to be deceived because I have the Holy Spirit. I have Jesus Christ. I have the Word of God. I'm getting to know the Word. I'm renewing my mind in the Word. So I'm just not a sitting duck for some weird thing to come along and take me down the sewer of deception.
That's right.
I don't know how to say it any plainer than that.
That's good. Now, Darren, we're not going to study the Baha'i cult, but I want to make clear that it is also a cult, and it is more on the New Age side of everything. They have a book. They have a book of inspiration that they read from. Very confusing book, but it does have a lot of phrases. When you read it, you say, wow, this sounds like the Bible, and in parts it does. And it's like the book of Quran that we're going to study here a little bit, the false doctrine of Islam. This cult here has taken over 25,000 words from our Bible and has put it into a book called the Quran. And that's why so many people are taken by this Islamic, and it's a very militant cult, because they see the things that were in the Bible, and it's very familiar to them. But don't be deceived and don't be caught off guard by this. This is a false religion.
Well, you look at some of the nations that are predominantly Islamic, like I've been watching this video clips on Turkey when they had this horrendous earthquake. Okay, you will see the crescent moon on their national flag, and with the little star next to it. I mean, you've got to know that in some of these nations, their conquest or their evangelical outreach is at the end of the point of a gun.
That's right. And so many people believe that this war going on in Russia and in the little countries surrounding Russia is all political, or it is power struggle, or it is for money or land. But Darren, I agree with you. I've heard you say it so many times. It's a religious war. It's the Muslims against Christians, Catholics, that kind of thing.
Well, it's the Muslims against the world.
Yes, because they are wanting to take over the world. Now, let's look at some of the things that it says in the Quran, and you will see how confusing it also is. On page 132 in the Quran, it says, O ye who believe, ask not of things which, if they were made known unto you, would trouble you, but if ye ask of them when this book is revealed, they will be known unto you. Now, this is just poppycock, Darren. I mean, I read that, and I read it again, and here it says, Lo, your Lord is Allah, who created the heavens and the earth in 6 days. Now, hey, they're Allah, created in 6 days just like God did.
Okay, now let's call it what it is. If you really get the word, it's plagiarizing scripture.
It
plagiarizing
sure is.
Someone else's writings. So they're taking God's writings, perverting them, twisting them, and they're very close.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not on your toes, you'd be deceived.
That's right. And some Christians, well-intentioned Christians, have said, oh, well, your God, Allah, is our God. That is absolutely opposite of any truth. I mean, it is blasphemy to say that.
Well, the reason they got into that deception, Barbara, is they say Allah and then Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But their God and our God, our Most High God, is not Allah.
That's right. And they do speak of Allah as being the father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I mean, they are very belligerent and arrogant about that. But here in another scripture, page 73, it says, Lo, the likeness...
Wait just a minute. Mm-hmm. In another scripture? You mean another part of the Quran?
In another part of their scriptures. It says, Lo, the likeness of Jesus with Allah is as the likeness of Adam. So they're putting Jesus on the level of a man, Adam. A created being. He created, now God created, their Allah created him of dust when he said unto him, Be, and he is. So their Allah created their Jesus as he had created Adam. That's not our Jesus, and that's not our God.
Well, again, when they say that, Lo, your Lord is Allah who created the heavens and the earth in 6 days, then he established himself upon the throne directing all things. Well, let me tell you, that's right out of the Quran, folks. That is a perversion of Holy Scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
And, by the way, I need to tell you this. When you look at that crescent moon symbol on their mosques and on their flags and on their temples and whatever, you're talking about a moon worshiper here.
Mm-hmm.
They are moon worshipers.
That's right.
That's what, at least a part, that makes them unique.
Yes, and in Islam in Focus on page 32, it says, Islam does not identify with a Christian conviction that man needs to be redeemed. See, they reject anything about sin and salvation. They believe man is fundamentally good. He is born into the world in a pure state and does not need salvation. What he becomes depends on external circumstances. His earned merits in life and his martyrdom all aid in giving him immediate entrance into paradise. Salvation in Islam cannot be attained, but is always a goal to be sought in life. And that's why we have Muslims that are willing to kill themselves for this cult, because this gives them immediate entry into paradise.
Well, that's because they're martyrs.
Yes.
So that's why they're willing to go on a suicide mission, because that's their ticket to heaven.
That's right. And we see that a little bit in Buddhism.
Heaven or paradise as they see it.
Yeah, and we're not talking about Buddhism or Hinduism because, Darren, it is so far out there that people should recognize immediately, with all the hundreds of gods that these people serve, that they do not serve the one living God, our God. So, you know, if you know a Buddhist friend or a Hindu friend, pray for them, love them, try to get some inspiration from your Bible into them, but otherwise they are believing something way out.
Well, that's where we need the power of Holy Spirit, number one, to stay pure ourselves and strong.
Yes.
And if the witnessing opportunity comes up, you're going to have the power of the Holy Spirit to crack that deception if you ever plan to have really good, effective ministry in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to really know how to pray in the Spirit, because you're looking at a spiritual battle between what you believe and what they believe, because it is in direct opposition to who you are as a Christian. Now, you got to understand, it's not just a parallel belief.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just, well, you know, everybody's wonderful and we're going to all wind up at the... There's so many different ways to get to heaven. Let me tell you, folks, that's pure hogwash and nonsense.
That's right.
There is one way to get to heaven, one way to get to God, and that's through a man named Jesus. He is the door. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And it says if you try to come any other way, you're considered to be a thief.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't want to be there. You want to be in truth. Well, praise God. Well, now we're going to talk about the Catholic Church. We have a lot of wonderful friends that are Catholics and a lot of supporters of the show.
Yes, and you will see, Darren, that we call this a religion. We don't call it a cult. Because if you truly are a Catholic and you read your New American Bible, that's the St. Joseph edition, you read it on a regular basis, and that Bible is your guide and your direct contact with God, I believe you can be a Christian in the Catholic Church and you're going to go to heaven. I was reading the St. Joseph edition, Darren, and it is so close to the King James Version. And they do believe that Jesus is God. They do believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Where they get tripped up is they believe that Mary is the mediator between Jesus and God. And you have to go to Mary before it. And she will go to Jesus on your behalf. That is absolutely unscriptural.
Now, that's not in their St. Joseph Bible.
No, it is not.
The priests and the church have added in there.
That's right.
And unfortunately, now we can pick on the Catholics at that point, but you know, in a lot of churches, they've brought in other teachings. They brought in some other things to, quote unquote, make it more explainable, or whatever reason they use for that. But we're just saying to our dear Catholic friends, if you would read your Bible and the priests predominantly have kept you out of the Bible, you need to get in there and find
out
what it says.
That's right. And we really call the priests and the heads of Catholic churches to accountability, because they are the ones that have led the people astray, if anybody has. And Darren, now I did find one scripture, and it is kind of what the Catholic Church is built on, and it's found in Matthew 16, 17, and 18. And this is... this is a mistranslation, and we will read. Should we read the one in the New American Standard first?
Yes.
Or,
okay. Yeah. Read the true
version. All
right.
So
first.
Jesus is asking, you know, who do you say that I am? And Peter comes up. Now he's called Simon. Up to this point, he is Simon. And he says, well, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says to Simon, blessed are you, Simon Barjona. That's the name of his father, Barjona, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter. Now, at this point, he calls him Peter. Now, what does Peter mean, Darren? It means a small stone. It's a small stone. And upon this rock... I will build my church. Now, he wasn't meaning Peter. In the literal Greek, Darren, this rock is means bedrock, large rock of foundation.
Okay, now, if we go back to the verse previous, and I believe that's what it's talking about, because Jesus has been saying, okay, he said, who does the world say that I am?
Mm-hmm.
And they said, well, some say you're a prophet, and so on. And then he targeted them directly as his own disciples closest to him. He said, but who do you say that I am? And here Peter speaks up and he says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, in verse 16. And Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Now, go ahead. You said you just read that? Yeah, well, I'm reading it again because I want to point this out. We're talking here about revelation knowledge, that what Peter received was not from somebody else, not another one of the disciples, okay? He received it directly from the Holy Spirit into his heart. God revealed it to him, and he's saying here in this text, upon this rock of revelation knowledge, I'll build my church.
That's right. It was just almost a secondary thing that he said, okay, Peter, your new name, because you're going to be great in the... of course, Peter was great in the church, but this isn't what the church is built on, Darren, and you're absolutely right. It's a revelation. And you know why Jesus calls himself the rock? Because in the Old Testament, Isaiah is given prophecy that Jesus is the cornerstone, and over 8 references are made to Jesus being the cornerstone. He's that foundational stone on which everything is built, Peter.
See, I find it very, very impressive that right after this, Jesus moved into the next verse that says, I'll give you the keys of the kingdom, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. He is saying to us, by revelation knowledge, you're going to know what to bind and what to loose.
That's right. Now,
your life is going to be conducted in the spirit world than in the natural world.
That's right.
And then he goes on to say, whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And I'll tell you, folks, we've got to learn to bind and loose in the spirit world if we're going to live victorious in the natural world. And Jesus has given us the key right here. It's upon this rock, upon revelation knowledge, upon the ability of that guidance and direction of revelation knowledge, you'll know how to conduct your life. You'll know what to forbid and what to loose.
That's right. And this rock is truly Jesus Christ. We're talking about this bedrock is Jesus. Now, the little stone is Peter. Now, in the St. Joseph edition in your Catholic Bible, Jesus, this is actually what it says, word for word. No mere man has revealed this to you, Simon, but my heavenly Father. I, for my part, declare to you, you are, now, this is what they say, capital R, rock. Peter, you are capital R rock, and on this rock I will build my church, and the jaws of death shall not prevail against it. I will entrust to you, Peter, the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Now, this is very unscriptural, and if you look into the literal Greek, you will know that this is in error.
What do you really say? It's unscriptural in terms of the accurate translation from the original Greek.
Mm-hmm,
that's what
right.
You're saying.
That's right.
So what you're saying is it's a perversion of interpretation.
Yes, it sure is. Now we see also in Romans 4:22 in the St. Joseph's edition, Abraham is being talked about here, and God says that he was fully persuaded in whatever God had promised him. Thus, his faith was credited to him as justice. And there are two different definitions of justice and righteousness here. And the King James Version said his faith was credited to him as righteousness, not justice.
Now, there's a big difference here.
There is.
What justice really talks about, in very simple terms, fairness.
Yes.
It was accredited to him as fairness. But when we take the real meaning of righteousness, God is saying that his faith was credited to him as righteousness. Now, righteousness really is the very nature of God. Big difference. Big difference between a rendering, for example, a rendering in a court, would be justice or fairness.
That's
but
right.
Now we're talking here about a spiritual quality of righteousness. God within you, God's nature in you.
Yes.
That's what righteousness really means.
That's right. And if you want to look that up, justice is number 4941 in your Strong's Concordance, and righteousness is number 6664. So we know that these two words are different. They truly are different. And they quoted this as saying, Abraham's faith was credited to him as justice instead of righteousness. These are two fallacies I saw in the Catholic Bible. This religion... It also believes that Mary is the mother of God, Darren, and God has no beginning and no end. He does not have a mother.
You're saying that we believe that God has no beginning and no end.
Mm-hmm.
He's omnipresent.
Yes.
Omniscient. He's all-knowing. And he's everywhere at all times.
That's right.
And he had no beginning.
They also believe that Peter is the apostle on whom the church was built, and that's also fallacy.
That is not only fallacy, folks, but when you start saying that Mary is the mother of God, I'm sorry to tell you this, but that's blasphemy.
That's right.
God did not have a mother. He did not have a beginning.
And as we talked to some former Catholic people, they said that their prayers were always to Mary, a Holy Mary of God, as they prayed through their rosaries. And rosary is not a thing of the Bible. God did not ask. There is no scripture concerning rosaries. There's no scripture concerning praying to Mary. So there are some real fallacies in the Catholic Church. And I believe the fact that the priests don't want the people to read the word, they want to keep them ignorant.
Well, they want to keep them dependent on the priesthood.
Yes, and that's one of
the
problems.
Now, let me tell you, we have a little different approach to this thing, and that's a matter of teaching and ministering and evangelizing. We want you to become so strong in the word that your relationship with God is so dependable for you and for the people around you. In other words, we're talking here about transferable concepts.
Mm-hmm.
We don't believe that we have a franchise or that we are so special and so unique that only Darren and Barbara can impart truth to people or teach or preach the truth. We believe that you can go straight to the Father yourself,
mm-hmm,
through Holy Spirit, through Jesus, and that the truth will set you free and that you can become on your own a very strong believer.
Well, that's right. And when the apostles came to Jesus and they said, Jesus, teach us how to pray. And he says, you say, our Father who art in heaven. I mean, you go directly to the Father. Jesus taught that so many times, Darren. And that's what's such a blessing. When he said, Holy Spirit is in you, we can pray as Abba Father. Our daddy is right here.
You know, lately the Holy Spirit's been ministering the last part of the Lord's Prayer to me.
Mm-hmm.
It says, for thy kingdom and the power and the glory, and it's yours, Father.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
Mine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. It's yours, Father, because the prayer
praise
starts
God
out, our Father.
Mm.
And it ends up by saying, here it is, at the very end of the prayer, it's your glory, it's your power, it's your kingdom forever.
Mm-hmm. Oh, praise God. Well, with a few minutes we have left, Darren, I would like to cover one other group. And this is very deceptive because it's called a social order. And it's a club. Some people consider it a club. It's called Freemasonry. And those involved in it are the Masons, Eastern Star. Now, Masons can only be men. They only allow men into their club, into their, quote, club
organization.
But they have also organized a group for the women. And those are called Eastern Star and Job's Daughters. And you were also talking about Demolay in the high school.
Right.
High school,
yeah,
boys.
Yeah, I had a lot of friends who were in Demolay in high school.
Now,
and
that's a part of Freemasonry.
That's entrance. That's taking them in by deception, folks, I have to say, right into the Masonic Lodge. But it says here in one of their books, their sacred volume of sacred law, you have entered a new world symbolically and spiritually. You've been reborn. Now, this is the Masonic talking.
Mm-hmm.
This started the movement. You were prepared to be... You know, it said this started the moment you were prepared to become a Freemason. Now, I had a boss in the school district. In fact, he was my immediate supervisor. And he was an administrator. And he said, now, you know, according to the Masonic rules and regulations, I cannot invite you to become a Mason. In other words, it has to be your choice. But I would sure be happy to sponsor you. Well, I thought, man, I'm really getting pressure here because this is the man that has control of my promotions and my paycheck.
Ooh,
and so on.
Yeah.
And I finally said, well, I'm going to tell you, I would make a lousy lodge member. I don't like meetings, and, you know, I wouldn't be going to the meetings and all this kind of stuff. And he said, well, now this would just supplement your church. We're going to talk about that here.
Yes.
Well, finally, he gave up on me because I was so hardcore in my resistance, and I was ready to lay my job on the line, but I was not going to become a Mason.
And then the other side of that, Darren, is that, well, no, this isn't a church. We just get together during the week and have a great time, buds, you know, and buddies, and get to know one another in the community. Well, we're going to find out it is a religion.
Yes.
It is a very big religion.
Well, these words.
In fact, can I just say that when you read this, symbolically and spiritually, you have been reborn. Spiritually is a religious connotation.
Well,
it
and also,
certainly is.
You can't just say symbolically you're reborn or spiritually reborn. The only one that can give you a new birth is God himself through Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
But then it goes on to say, these are the words that are new members of the Masonic Lodge hear when they're inducted. Joseph Newton, an authority in the Masonic world, said, Masonry is not a religion, but religion. Not a church, but a worship in which men of all religions may unite. The religion of Masonry.
Yes.
That is so deceptive because many of our Baptist, Methodist, and I could go on down the line, brothers and sisters,
right,
are members of the Masonic Lodge, right, and they think they can be a member of the Masonic Lodge and also be a member of a church that teaches being born again, and you can't be.
No, you cannot be born again and be a Mason, and we're going to talk about that. And Freemasonry considers Christianity to be only one among many religions, such as Judaism, Islam, and Buddhism. And I found it interesting, Darren, as I read, if they set up a Masonic Lodge in a community that says maybe is majority of Buddhists, they really get... into the Buddhist belief. They make that a priority in their lodge. If they build a Masonic lodge in a community that is predominantly Methodist, then they bring Christianity in and they talk highly of Christianity. It depends on where their lodge is built, and they're gonna concentrate on that religion. So they're very wishy-washy, very double-minded in this.
Well, very deceptive, let's call it.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, let's do. Let's
and,
call it.
I know my mother's father was in the Masonic Lodge, and after he died, she gave me his Masonic ring. She said, I'm sure you'll want to keep this. Well, the only reason my mom did that is she didn't know better. But later on, the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and he said, that thing is an abomination. Get it out of your house.
Mm-hmm.
Again, folks, I'm going to ask you, go through your house. Don't only look at the books and pictures and whatever. Look at your jewelry and so on, and what's on the walls and all this kind of stuff, and say, God, does this dishonor you in any way?
Because that was a piece of jewelry. That was a ring.
Because these things bring in spirits,
right,
that are
they
attached
really do
to these things.
They really
spirits
do.
Spirits of deception.
Jim Shaw, 33rd degree Scottish Rite Mason before he became a born-again Christian, states in his book, The Deadly Deception, Masonry, contrary to popular belief, is not based upon the Bible. Masonry is actually based on the Kabbalah, a medieval book of magic and mysticism. And in a ceremony at a Masonic lodge, one might hear the words, 100 paths may wind upward around a mountain, at the top they meet. Wow, this is a very much of a world.
Well, this sucks everybody in.
Oh.
Say, you Methodists, come on. You Presbyterians, you come on. We're all going to end up the same place.
Yeah, that's right. And in the books written by the Masonic hierarchy, there is no, and this is why Darren and I say you cannot be born again. There is no reference to Jesus or Christ.
You can't be born again
and
through
be a Mason.
The Masonic order.
You cannot be a Mason and be born again because they do not believe in Jesus or Christ. There's not even a reference to Jesus or Christ.
Now let's back up again. Let's say it another way.
Okay.
You can't be a born-again Christian and subscribe to the Masonic order because mm-hmm. their teachings are in direct conflict to Christianity. That's what we're saying there.
Well,
and you can't get born again through the lodge.
That's right, because they swear allegiance when they come in and take that oath, and the Bible says, hey, don't take oaths. You know, if you're born again, don't take oaths.
And you can only have one master. You will love one and hate the other one. That's what the
right.
Bible says.
So when you become a Mason, you swear allegiance to the religion of Freemasonry by your oath in front of those men. You are doing that, or the women, or the Job's daughters, and claiming that Jesus is his Lord clearly presents a conflict. Henry Coyle, the head of Masonry, states, the prevailing Masonic opinion is that the Bible is only a symbol of divine will, law, or revelation. Its contents are not divine law, inspired, or revealed. Oh, that's in direct contradiction to 2 Timothy 3, where all the word is inspired of God. So far, no responsible authority has held that a Freemason must believe the Bible or any part of it, and that's the Masonic Encyclopedia.
Okay, now, what are we talking about here, folks? We're talking about not only deception, we're talking about blasphemy. You're talking about two ideas here that are an absolute direct conflict. Antithesis. I mean, what anti. How can we say it any plainer? Now.
So get yourself out of there.
That's right.
If you are in there and you say you're a born-again believer, get yourself out of there.
What they're really saying is no religion is better than another one, and the Bible is just one book of many books. It's a secular book of choice, right? I mean, you can go to a bookstore and get all kinds of books, and Bible happens to be one of them. No. The Bible is a wholly inspired book of God, written by God. God inspired the authors to write it. Let me say it that way. Now, I'm encouraging you here. I really am encouraging you.
I really just need to read it. In 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate and equipped for every good work. That's our Bible.
We're saying to you folks that you cannot trust reason. You can't just reason this stuff out. You've got to have a guidance system. That guidance system has to be authored by Holy Spirit through Holy Scripture. I mean, you got to know the Scripture, you'll get deceived. You'll get sucked into one of these deals. Now, we're telling you here some of these things because we believe so firmly that there are many, many curses. In my family tree, I've shared this publicly so many times, but I had in my background, I had Mormons, I had Masons, and I had a lot of teaching out of the Catholic Church that came down through my family. Okay? So I had to break some curses. Now, we have a two-tape series called When Curses Go, Blessings Flow. It's blessed so many people. Many of you are getting blindsided in your finances and with your health because God is in opposition to the idolatry in your family. And it says that the sins of the grandfathers passed down three or four generations. You may be coming up against something in your family that you're not sure, how come this keeps happening to me? For example, why do I keep having accidents? Well, maybe there's a curse in your family. Why am I always broke? Why don't I have enough money? Well, many times it's because of curses, and I don't mind pushing that two-tape series, When Curses Go, Blessings Flow.
That's
you
right.
Need it.
Well, and if you see that up your family tree somewhere there were Jehovah's Witnesses or Mormons or Freemasons, Job's Daughters, Eastern Star, these kind of cults, then there is a curse that has come on you through these cults, and you need to cut them off. As a born-again Christian, you can still have those cultish curses over you, Darren. I did not realize that, but as a Christian, when Holy Spirit says, beware of what's gone on in your family, and I think it's so good to have somebody pray with you and break these curses in Jesus' name. I really believe that we need agreement with other brothers and sisters when we come against cults that are over our lives.
Well, let's pray right now.
Praise God.
Father God, in the name of Jesus, we've presented these messages about these various religions and cults and practices to bring an awareness to our friends, our power partners, our listeners, Father God, that they might not have had any other way. Now, Lord, we know that curses can be broken. You've broken them over our lives. We know that, Father God, people can come out of deception and perversion into the truth, and we expect that for our power partners, our listeners, and our friends. And so we thank you, Lord. We cover this teaching with the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony. We thank you, Jesus. We praise you. So today we affirm in the name of Jesus, Jesus, you are Lord.
Jesus, you are Lord.
We're cutting off the deception.
We're cutting off all deception.
With the power of the blood of Jesus.
With the power of the blood of Jesus.
With the word of God that will set us free.
With the word of God that will set us free.
We affirm today.
We affirm today.
That Jesus is Lord.
That Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is our Savior and our Redeemer.
Jesus is our Savior and our Redeemer.
That the word of God is the inspired word of God.
That the word of God is the inspired word of God.
That the word of God is truth.
That the word of God is truth.
We thank you. There is one God.
We thank you. There is one God.
Who had one son.
Who had one son.
His name is Jesus.
His name is Jesus.
Who came to save the world.
Who came to save the world.
He is our Redeemer.
He is our Redeemer.
We believe he died on the cross.
We believe he died on the cross.
He went to hell.
He went to hell.
He was resurrected.
He was resurrected.
He's seated at the right hand of the Father.
And he's seated at the right hand of the Father.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father.
We declare.
We declare.
The Bible is our guidebook.
The Bible is our guidebook.
And Jesus is our Lord.
And Jesus is our Lord.
We thank you. We are covered by the blood of Jesus.
We thank you that we are covered with the blood of Jesus. Now, if you've prayed this prayer and there has been a cult like Jehovah's Witnesses, what you say next is, I cut off the cult of Jehovah's Witnesses in my family's life. I cut it off, and I say you are null and void. You have no longer any effect on my family.
And if you've dabbled in any of these religions here, and you've ever considered about being seriously a part of them, ask God to forgive you right now and say, Lord God, as an act of my will, I denounce any contact, any influence by those religions,
yes. Oh,
by those institutions, by that pattern of thought, and you will have victory in Jesus' name. God bless you. Get a hold of us here at Darren in Denver, Box 37367, Denver, zip code 80237.